So I was on my motorcycle heading home, is going through this intersection, and this car just turns left in front of me. They said they didn't see me, obviously. And I hit him broadside, flew over the car and landed, broke my arm, busted my shoulder. It wasn't good. Luckily, I had my helmet on, but yeah, I was mad. So a buddy told me to call the advocates. But, you know, I've always been skeptical of lawyers, right? But I called them. They were cool. They listened to me, and they were on my side for sure. They took care of everything. They're a good group of people. They helped me get what I deserved. They worked with the insurance companies. They got everything paid for. They fight for you, and they're going to go for the win.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. I totally get that bikers are independent, but when someone else causes a crash, you need a team as tough as you. Give us a call.
If you love the Mixing Music podcast but want deeper, ad-free, technical episodes, we've got you covered. Our Patreon gives you access to over 250 exclusive episodes and new content every single week, all focused on mixing, mastering, and engineering at a high level. For just $4 a month, you get practical tips and techniques that will instantly improve your sound. Join now at mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Lulu. Apparently, that bubble burst, by the way. Talking about
I really hope so, because I'm not going to lie. I was not part of the... you know how, like, Pokemon at one point, there was, like, pastors being like, Pokemon, the devil, Pikachu, going like this, that's Satan. Misty, she's wearing short shorts. That's promiscuity or whatever the fucking word is. Guys, I'm retarded right now, okay? I feel like Labubu got a weirdly similar hate where, like, everybody saw these ugly ass, let's be honest, they're fucking ugly little shits with fur. But there was, like, a lot of churches coming out saying, like, Labubu's the Satan doll and blah, blah, blah. And people are buying Satan.
I think it's genuinely comical when people say that things out of East Asia.
Yeah.
Are like Satan. China and Japan are satanic. Like, Pokemon being satanic, like, is the funniest thing ever.
Why is it always Satan?
No, because, like, nobody in Japan, like, they don't just not believe in Satan because, you know, like, they don't deny Satan. Like, atheism is another form of certainty based off of, like, it's like the counterpoint to some sort of theism. Yeah. But, like, all of Asia is just non-theistic. Like, they don't think it matters. Like, it's not, like, yeah. It's not a thought that comes to mind. So, like, the fact that anything Japanese could be satanic is hilarious to me. Like, that is just absolute projection in its purest form.
So it's funny because, like, I did see some of the hype of it because, like, when Labubu started popping off, I was selling cards on Whatnot and I was doing pretty decent money on Whatnot. But I remember, like, somebody's like, oh, do you have any Labubu? And I'm like, what the fuck is a Labubu? You know? And I started looking it up and I was like, damn, people want these, like, creepy little dolls. They're paying good money for it to the point where it became, like, a not a fashion statement, but, like, you saw, like, influencers with, like, a little Labubu keychain on their purses and stuff like that. And then there was, like, specific drops of Labubu. And I was like, I wonder, genuinely speaking, there seems to be a lot of money really investing in this, like scalping them. When will this pop? And, like, you're seeing a lot of collectibles right now. There's a timeline that we're in right now where everything is just falling. It's falling from the sky. Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, One Piece, everything is going down. But Labubu took a massive spike. That is, we're not talking on discount. Like, that shit's on clearance.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, anyway. Yeah. Let's get into today's episode because we got to be quick. We actually have a cutoff time. So we're going to talk about plugins that we like currently and throughout the rest of the year because it's the end of the year or the beginning of the year, whenever this episode comes out. I'm not sure. And I'm probably still in Japan. So yeah. I've posted this episode way earlier. Couple things. I want to talk about the Volf compressor and soft clipper that came out. The Volf mastering compressor. Sick. Sounds awesome. From Good Hertz. Purified Audio came out with their 5420. It was $4. It was $4. I don't know if it still is. I don't even know if it's good, but I got it because it's $4. A Mixland came out with Varelia. I like Varelia. It's still got a lot of bugs that needs to be solved. Wait for 1.1. Good plugin. I got Level Lock from, is that Safari plugins? Safari pedals?
Whoa.
Level Lock is sick.
Oh, Level Lock, I think might have been Safari because I think Devil Lock is Santoy's.
Yeah, I've been using a lot more SSL VCA's type compressors, specifically the Townhouse from Plugin Alliance. Been using that a lot more often.
So there was a time where I haven't returned to using it, but there was a time where I used it a lot. Like that thing sounds cool.
Yeah, Mixwave. I've been using the VNE and the VT7, the two DW Fern plugins from Mixwave. I love those a lot, actually. I use those way more than I thought I would, honestly. Unfair Child was another big one. Not a lot of EQs other than the classic Pultec. I always love a Pultec one, you know?
Yeah.
I said Unfair Child. What else did I say? Oh, I also use the C70 from Mixwave for if I need something with a more low end. Or less top end, more importantly. More low end, less top end is the one I was thinking of. What else? But those are kind of some of the ones that I've used a lot this year. Spiff. Yeah.
Spiff.
From Oak Sound. It has been cool. What are some other plugins that you've been using throughout the year?
So, obviously this year, I've still been doing a lot of mastering and mixing, but I've obviously been pretty busy live, right? And so, it's not necessarily a plugin, but it's something worth considering if you ever do, if you're an artist that listens, or if you're an engineer who does both sides. There's a plugin from Waves. It's more of a plugin host called, I think it's called Super Rack. Hold on. I think I might have it here. Okay. It's not on this computer, but it's a SoundGrid host. And basically you can run your VSTs and AAX plugins or a VST and what's the other format?
VST AU. And AU.
AU, yeah. So you can run VST and AU plugins on it. SoundGrid Performer or something, Performer Rack. I forget what it's called. But basically, it's $100 from Waves. You can actually use it to load plugins on your laptop and then run them as inserts on your console or use them as effects buses and all that kind of stuff. Now, one of the coolest things about it is that means I was able to take a lot of Fab Filter with me live, which is something that I'm always reaching for in studio and live. Pro Q4 has been a staple throughout the entire year. And I know that a lot of people like different EQs that do similar things like the Kirchhoff EQ and things like that. But I stick to my guns when I say that the Pro Q4 makes me more money because it's a lot easier for me to get from point A to point B. So it's just one of those, like, I just move very fluidly with it, no matter what I'm doing. And then, let's see, aside from Pro Q4, I've been using a lot of, you know, this kind of returned, API 2500 from Waves. That one has returned into the use list because, nice. I'm using it a lot on drums, especially live, to really get that like smack to like really punch through the speakers. But I found myself using it on a couple masters this year, which is something that I never used that plugin for. I never really liked it on like a master bus that much. But there was a couple records that were kind of like very transient heavy that it sounded really nice on. I was really happy with that. Soothe and Spiff I use a lot this year. Spiff less than Soothe, but Spiff still for like drums and for guitar, because I like rolling off a lot of like low mids on guitars to get them to cut through on like really dense tracks. But sometimes you want that little push in the low mid. So I like using spiff to push that. I like using spiff on like snares and things of that nature, but I like using soothe as my sidechain for like bass, overheads, like vocals to duck the guitars and things like that. So I'm using soothe as like kind of like a multi-band sidechain, if that makes sense. Right. But
I've done that too. I've actually, that's like a decent use of soothe.
Yeah, it really is. Like a lot of people use it for like de-harshing or things of that nature, the way they explain it. I'm liking it more as just like a temporary space divider, you know? If you use it on overheads with guitars, it cleans up that upper mid range a little bit, like that 3 to 5K really nicely. If you use it on vocals against guitars so that you can have a little more space between like 500 and 800 hertz, that sounds really nice with soothe. But I've been doing a lot of sidechain work with the soothe this year. Outside of that, I tried some new ones. I pulled them up just so I wouldn't forget them. I was using the HG2MS, which is basically the black box with a mid-side function now. And I thought that one sounded pretty cool. It's the same black box with just a few more features. But black box is probably one of my favorite things to throw on. Like
they also sound a little bit different, even with the same exact setting.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if that's because of them adding the mid-side thing to it and that having altered it somehow. But for the most part, they're pretty similar. I'll be honest, like the only reason I was able to tell a difference between the two is because I was doing drums and the overhead wash, like when the guy was writing a crash, you could hear it in like the crash that it was a little bit different. But outside of that, I didn't hear it doing like too much difference in the low end. Yeah, but aside from that one, I've been liking Machine Head. Machine Head was one of those that I kind of doubted it at first, and I waited a really long time before trying it because it came hot out of release. Like I feel like a lot of people were really on top of Machine Head once it came out, I guess a part of me just saw that and was like, "Meh, I'll try it later." Not that interested at the moment. But once I got to trying it, I was like, okay, I see its practicality. Like it sounds nice on like on a 2 bus, or if you're doing just like strictly on the instrumental bus or however you want to use it. It's a good bus processor, similar to how like the SSL Fusion might be if you had less controls available to like specific tones that you want to shift around. Mixhead just works more like a secondary converter in your workflow. Yeah. Outside of that, there's not much controls on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other plugins that we always use. I love Spectre from Waves Factory. I always use that. And of course, FabFilter Pro Q4 is what I use. Those are the things. If you're looking at buying plugins, go to Plugin Boutique. So I think it's like makesomemusicpodcast.com/plugins.
Yep.
Or Plugin Boutique, one of the two. Or if you're going to buy them on Sweetwater, makesomemusicpodcast.com/Sweetwater. To get those plugins. And then
if
we
you
get
go
a
through
kickback.
Those links, go look at some of the Sonox stuff, like Oxford Inflator, Ooh. Oxford Limiter, all those things at this time of year are
usually on sale. I got the Drumgate.
Dude, Drumgate's so good. Drumgate's so good. Dude, I use it live. Oh, it's so good.
I did not realize how good that is. That is insane that I think a gate is so good.
So I did a show recently where there was... Listen, man, like you send out writers. I've noticed in the States, they are a lot less looked at than they are in Europe, which is concerning. But with that said, it kind of led to an interesting plug for the Drumgate to actually get some love from people that didn't realize it was on.
It's great.
I use Lawton Audio's Tom mics, snare mics and things like that. And they already have really good rejection. They better for the price point. You know, but I was using Sonox Drumgate on it because we were doing kind of like a smaller stage and things like that. So I needed as much rejection as I could so that there'd be less bleed and one, a cleaner mix, two, less chances of feedback and all that kind of stuff. But I didn't want the drums to sound choked because most drummers like hearing sustain. But like the way gates typically work is just on or off. Like there's no like there's typically nothing more than just a basic sidechain filter that you can maybe enable depending on the gate. But right. I don't know what it is that the Oxford drum gate is doing. Like, I don't really fully understand how it gets it so clean. But front of house, I had to send them my inputs because they never got an XLR split. So we didn't get isolated lines for us to do our own mixes and our own gain staging. So what we agreed to was I'm going to gain stage it and then I'm going to send it to them. And so what I did was a post insert send to them per channel. And so they got the gated signal and they're like, dude, how are we getting such like, how are we getting such a good like clean tom on it? Like what mics are we using? What is it that we're doing? I'm like, dude, it's the mic one, two, I'm sending it to you post gate. Like I'm sending it to you post insert processing. I turned it off and we instantly got feedback.
Crazy.
Dude, that thing is insane how much rejection you can get out of it.
Like, yeah, the sound yeah, not just in the studio. Drum it's incredible. Wow. It's incredible. Honestly, I had a project where that was the only, I trialed it and I bought it immediately because that was the only gate that worked for this one specific project.
Nice.
Anyway.
Was it a project where like all the mics were like really, really hot kind of thing?
Yeah. Or it was also, I think it was just a two track, but I wanted to replace the sample of the snare. So I needed to solo just the snare from a two track of the drums.
Gotcha. Okay.
From a bus mix, a drum bus mix. And it worked. Yeah. It's crazy. No other, I couldn't do it even with the sidechain filters with the, because I usually just use the Fab filter gate. Yeah. And I use the sidechain filters and try to focus on just those narrow frequencies of where the snare is being triggered. And then use that as like an expansion gate thing to like trigger. If I need to use triggers, then I'll use that as like to trigger a sample or to whatever, right? To isolate those frequencies. The drum gate from Sonnox is incredible. It's got like this additional AI thing where it's like not just frequency dependent, but it like figures, isolates it even more and a bunch of other options that I read through. But anyway, really good plugin.
There is one thing that I did use. I don't know if this, you tell me DK, you let me know if there's practicality behind this one in studio, but Waves makes a plugin of it and like think like two other companies, but it's something that Rupert Neve really pushed, which was a primary source expander, which is mainly used for like vocals, but think about like a very light gate that's very controllable. But Waves makes the primary source expander plugin. Rupert Neve has a the PSE.
Oh,
and Rupert Neve has a PSE hardware. So the hardware, I've tried it and it sounds fucking amazing. I plan on buying 4 channels worth of it because of how well it worked out. But if you have like a really bleedy vocal, like there's just like a lot of noise behind it or there's like a lot of room behind it, PSE is really good for like pulling the vocal forward while keeping other things behind when the vocal's not active without sounding like a gate or heavy automation. But I've used it recently because of my work live. I learned about it, but I use it on a couple mixes as kind of almost like an automation tool. For like a very soft spoken vocal, but once they get to like certain parts, it expands them upward.
That's sick.
Yeah.
Well, that's that. It's it for this episode. We often give plugin advice on how to use plugins, different techniques for different tools and plugins, as well as reviews and thoughts on recommendations for plugins on the exclusive episodes of the podcast, missingmusicpodcast.com/Patreon or /exclusive to get access to those episodes. Thank you so much for listening. Have a happy new year. If this is already in the new year or if it's about to be, it's probably already is. I'm going to probably schedule this out later. And on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
My family and I were stopped at a stoplight on a highway, and all of a sudden I see a truck coming straight for us, rammed right into the back of us. I felt, I can handle all the calls, I know the story, I know how to talk to the insurance agents. It added up to be too much, and I just wish that I had called the advocates way sooner. They ended up getting a settlement for me that was twice the amount that I thought that I could get on my own.
I'm Matt with the Advocates Injury Lawyers. You shouldn't have to fight the insurance companies. Let the advocates carry that burden for you.
If you love the Mixing Music podcast but want deeper, ad-free, technical episodes, we've got you covered. Our Patreon gives you access to over 250 exclusive episodes and new content every single week, all focused on mixing, mastering, and engineering at a high level. For just $4 a month, you get practical tips and techniques that will instantly improve your sound. Join now at mixingmusicpodcast/exclusive.